Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating. We celebrated our anniversary last week. This week, we're celebrating Thanksgiving, and we're going to do that with our friend Ken Davis. Ken, as you know, Kenneth C. Davis is the author of Don't Know Much About History and among other books as well. And he actually knows a lot about history. And he's here to talk to us a little bit about Thanksgiving and a little bit about that topic. I'm not sure we've got him quite ready yet, but have we got him there, Roger? Is he here? Yeah, there he is. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Don't Know Much About History is one of your books, and I love the title, and of course, you've been with us a number of times before. Many folks have seen you on television. Now, are you going to do television on Thanksgiving morning?
I will be on television on Thanksgiving morning.
Which one?
It would be Fox and Friends.
Friends, okay.
They are my friends, and... they often have me on around the holidays to talk about.
Are you going
to
be cooking on there or on the?
No,
on
I won't cook on air. Okay. No, the cooking is off air. As I said, after I finish my television show, I'll tie on the apron.
Tie on the apron. Okay, what's the big deal? Isn't it just like Americans, or is it just like humans to find any reason to eat? Thanksgiving is a
good topic to think about, but we've turned this into a glutton fest, haven't we? It has become another symptom of American gluttony, unfortunately, very different from the idea of what it started out. First of all, no, of course we all need to eat, but then why do we have parties? Well, in this case, very specific answer and a very simple answer. People have been celebrating the harvest from the beginning of time, as probably as long as there have been harvests, going back to the beginning of agriculture, that the people thank the gods for delivering the goods. But this became a special holiday in American history only in the middle of the 19th century. It was only during the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln declared the first national day of Thanksgiving. It had been lobbied for by an interesting woman named Sarah Josepha Hale. She was an editor of a magazine back in the 19th century, very popular women's magazine, and I guess you could call it the Good Housekeeping of its day. Mm-hmm. And she had been lobbying for this National Day of Thanksgiving to honor the pilgrims and what they had done for a long time. And Abraham Lincoln must have gotten tired of her asking. But in the midst of the Civil War, he announced the first Thanksgiving. The holiday then was sort of semi-official after that, and it really became a true national holiday and later on and moved around a little bit. Franklin D. Roosevelt set it on the third Thursday in November, and then Congress later moved it back to the fourth Thursday in November.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it had been celebrated though for centuries, for a long time, especially down through New England. I mean, it had been established as a regional kind of a celebration for a long time, though, hadn't it?
Oh, it had been in part of the American, you know, legend and lore for a long time, and that's one of the reasons why this woman felt it should be celebrated on a national level. But the notion of the bit being the pilgrims being the first Thanksgiving is a bit of a misconception. There had been Thanksgiving festivals in Virginia earlier on. Huh. There had been some in New Mexico, where the Spanish. So even in America.
Right.
It was far from.
Now, I see you're bursting our little Thanksgiving bubble here, Ken. We've all got our little paradigms about how Thanksgiving should be. Does that, now, see, it makes me not want to wear my buckle hat.
Well, the buckled hat is also a bit of a creation. That's really the work of 19th century, almost Victorian era artists who wanted to represent this, you know, this idealized vision of what these people look like, and they look nothing at all like that.
It's kind of like the medieval paintings of the Last Supper showing the Jesus and his disciples dressed in modern garb.
Absolutely, people have always given an idealized image. Now, the people who were the pilgrims, and I'll burst another bubble in a second, would have worn simple farmer's clothes, and they would have been earthy tones and browns and purples and greens.
And glad to have those, apparently.
Well, they would have been glad, and they would have been wool, and they would have been very heavy, which gets to the point that 66 days on the Mayflower, probably not a lot of changes of clothes, no working showers, no bathrooms. You basically stayed on one deck, the 102 people who were passengers for that two months, and the water closet was a bucket that you threw overboard, and you wore, as I said, to maybe 10 pounds of wool. There were the chickens and the pigs all gathered in the same place. It was damp, it was cold, it was musty. It must have been pretty ripe by the time they got to America.
Yeah, I'm sure they were glad to see a little fresh water and some bathing. You know, if my research can, I don't know if it agrees with yours, shows that their appetites actually almost got them into trouble when they landed at the tip of Cape Cod. They went ashore and found some corn, which was actually an offering to the dead by the Indians that lived out there on the tip.
That's correct.
They got chased off the Cape there, didn't they?
Well, they didn't get chased. They didn't think it was a suitable place to start a settlement, and that's one of the I guess.
So the Indians didn't run them off.
They didn't run them off right away because, in large part, there were very few Indians around, and this gets to a lot of the mythology of Thanksgiving. These pilgrims, first of all, only half of the 102 people on the Mayflower as passengers were actually what we would call pilgrims. Mm-hmm. The other half were people who were coming to America for the same reason people have come to America ever since, land and opportunity.
The latent separatists, then what you call the pilgrims, call them the others.
They called them the others or the strangers, and they didn't really care how you prayed or who
you
prayed
to. So religious intolerance goes back a long way, doesn't it?
Oh, it's so tied up to the beginning of American history, it's impossible to separate it.
We got a lot more good stuff to come, ladies and gentlemen, with our good friend Kenneth C. Davis, the author of Don't Know Much About History, but as you can tell, he actually does. 20 after, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Kenneth Davis is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. Ken, your book, Don't Know Much About History. Tell us where it's available.
The book and audio are available in all the local bookstores, usually, as well as from the online booksellers, along with the rest of the Don't Know Much About series, including a wonderful book for kids called Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims, now out in paperback. It's a kid's book, but parents and adults will look at it and learn some things that they didn't know either. And it's fun. It's illustrated. It's got some great pictures. It talks about the man who brought 126 pairs of shoes with him on the Mayflower because he figured, we're going to need some shoes when we get over there.
Is that Imelda Marcos's father or something?
I know there's an Imelda Marcos joke.
There's got to be. Well, I thought I'd just give you that. And so I try to set you up for these kids.
No, but it really speaks to, seriously, it speaks to the kind of entrepreneurial spirit that these people had. Many of them were coming because they were looking for a place to begin over and have religious freedom. And this wasn't religious freedom wasn't a nice little phrase. This was, people were dying in England.
Oh, yeah.
And in the Netherlands and in England a few years before, the reign of Queen Mary, known as Bloody Mary, because she was burning Protestants. This was a deadly affair. But as I said, half of those people were also just coming for land, for opportunity that they couldn't get in England, because most of the land belonged to somebody already, and they weren't giving it up. So that's important to remember, that this idea of coming here for opportunity really goes back to the beginning. Unfortunately, it also meant occasionally taking the land that also belonged to somebody already. And,
yeah, that's another issue. The Indians have a different story. They have a different take on settling in the New World and Thanksgiving and Columbus. When you talk to them about Columbus, you know, Columbus is not their hero.
Well, you know, and on Thursday, up in if you go up to Plymouth, Massachusetts, and I was there just last week. It's a wonderful place,
by the way,
if you're ever in that part of the world.
Yep.
But there will be descendants of the Wampanoag, the Indians who met the Pilgrims, and they have a day of not a protest so much as a day of mourning, because to them this day marks the end of their way of life.
Except to be fair. The virus, whatever sickness had happened prior to them landing, had already wiped out an awful lot of
There had been an enormous
over
plague.
Over half, I think, millions of their.
This is one of the sort of legendary parts or overlooked parts of the Pilgrim story, that long before the Pilgrims arrived in New England, European fishermen had up and down the coasts of New England.
Right.
This wasn't unexplored, unknown territory all. The Indians knew the Europeans.
That's how Squanto was taken across the water for the first time.
Squanto and of course and Samoset, they had encounters with Europeans and they weren't happy ones. But when the Pilgrims land in what they call Plymouth, the Indians called Patuxet, it was an abandoned village because it had been wiped out, most likely by a smallpox plague, most likely introduced by fishermen who traded and fished along the coastal waters of New England.
And it was actually the home village of Tisquantum, wasn't it?
It was his home village. And
he came back to find his people dead.
To find his village completely, and then he joined the other tribe, the Wampanoag tribe, which was led by Massasoit, who's the chief that sits down for the first Thanksgiving. And here's the other part of the story they didn't tell us in school days: the son of Massasoit, 50 years later, goes to war with the English in one of the most bloody wars in American history, called King Philip's War. That's what the English called Massasoit's son, whose name was Metacom. 40% of the Indians were living then were killed in that war in that part of New England. 5% of the colonists were killed, which makes it the bloodiest war in American history in terms of the proportion
percentage
of people who died. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very, very vicious, deadly war fought in New England 100 years before the American Revolution.
It goes back to what I've been saying about humanity lately, Ken. You know the problem with humanity, don't you? The humans.
The humans. Yeah, well, you know, that this is part of
we just can't seem to get along.
This is a day that we want to, you know, give thanks and celebrate, and we have lots to be grateful for, but, you know, there's a dark side to American history, and it does us no good to ignore it or to paper over it. You know, of course, in Florida, long before the Pilgrim, 50 years before the Pilgrims arrived, another group of Protestants came to Florida looking for the same thing. They said set up near modern-day Jacksonville, and the Spanish came along and wiped them out to a man. This was the Huguenots, and there's a little fort called Fort Matanzas near St. Augustine, which is the site of the massacre of more than 200 Frenchmen who were killed because they were Protestant, not because they were French.
Right. But the fact is, the residual of all that is this day that we stop and celebrate and say thanks for our blessings, and we get together with friends and family, and I like the way that's turned out, Ken.
That's, you know, it is a holiday that's special in that respect. That
and it's uniquely American, isn't it?
It is. Well, as I said, the harvest festivals have been celebrated.
No, Ken, I'm not going to let you get away with this. Doggone it, Thanksgiving is uniquely American.
they may argue that up in Canada where they have
okay,
Thanksgiving.
Okay, I'll argue with them about that, but I'm not. Ken, give us your website, please.
Don'tknowmuch.com, all one word, no apostrophe, yeah. And... it's just, you know, try and make this stuff human and try and make it alive. And
I got to go, Ken. Thanks for making this.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.